tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a wonderful and blessed week. As I always say, every day is a good day when God decides to wake you up. Can I get a big amen? Amen. Are you guys and gals ready for another Saturday of fellowship? Well, let's go ahead and get started then. Today's message is about spiritual and physical hoarding. Before we get started in on the message, let's begin with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for bringing us all together today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for fresh grace, mercy, and forgiveness every day. Thank you for your unconditional love. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for all those needing hope, strength, and encouragement. Please minister to them now. I pray that you would work in their hearts, dry their tears, take away their fears, be their healer, comforter, and provider. You know who is struggling, and you know each one by name. Please have compassion and mercy on them, and may they feel your presence like never before. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer, folks. So let's begin with the message. Hoarder. We have all heard the word, and we know the definition. Hoarding is a sin, but I'll talk about that later. Right now, I want to go ahead and share with you the definition. Perhaps you know someone who is a hoarder, and perhaps that is you. You are the hoarder. But let me go ahead and give you that definition so that we can all be on the same page. Hoarding can actually be a disorder. The definition of hoarding is a persistent difficulty discarding or parting with possessions because of the perceived need to save them. It works along the same way with spiritual hoarding. If you are a spiritual hoarder, you have a difficult time of letting go of things emotionally from your past. You might hold on to old hurts, be unable to forgive or move on. For a person with a hoarding disorder, they experience distress at the thought of getting rid of things, whether that is material things or emotional baggage, regardless of its actual value. There are many different types of hoarding, some that you might not even think of as hoarding. From the worldly point of view, owning plenty of material possessions has long been regarded as a sign of prosperity and good fortune. From the world's point of view, welfare and success are closely associated with the possession of various expensive and comfortable items that arouse envy in the less fortunate. However, the extreme accumulation of material objects can be troubling and destructive to our lives in many ways also. So what does the Bible say about hoarding? In Matthew 6:19-21, it says, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's take a look at some of the different types of hoarding. There are people who collect. Collectors generally like a certain thing, like stamps, rocks, trains, war memorabilia, dolls, cups, dishes, etc. These people go around to different places searching for like objects that are unique or rare to add to their collection. There are people who like to research. It is not uncommon for those with a thirst for knowledge who love reading and learning new things to gradually pile tons of books, computers, encyclopedias, magazines, and newspapers in their homes. There are people who do not like to waste anything. One of the main excuses that hoarders have for their behavior is that they like to preserve old and sometimes what we would often think as useless items, like newspapers and such. These groups of people are called recyclers. And then there are the food hoarders. Recyclers save and find creative ways to make something else with natural resources, while food hoarders buy extra food for what they call a rainy day, picking up more food than is necessary when they find bargain prices on certain items. And there are animal hoarders. This one's self-explanatory. I won't even go into that. People in this group keep lots of animals. And sometimes they do that because maybe they're lacking love in human relationships, and animals provide a love that they don't get elsewhere, and so they acquire lots of animals. There are over-sentimental hoarders. This group of people are often triggered by a very stressful or traumatic experience, and the person involved may have experienced a bitter loss. As a result of this, precious memories become associated with items that person may have owned, making them very valuable to the person still living or in possession of said items. These people will never let go of anything that belonged to the person that they lost. Likewise, hoarders will keep items associated with a happy period of their life, or if they lacked a certain thing in the earlier stages of their life, hoarders will accumulate as many of these items as possible in adulthood. And so let's say, for example, if you are a little bit older and say you didn't have an air conditioner when you were growing up, perhaps you might buy one or two of them just in case the one you have in your window now isn't working or doesn't work, you know, breaks down later. Or, you know, it could be anything. Maybe you didn't have a car growing up, and so maybe you have an extra two or one or two laying around somewhere. You know, things of that nature, fans, you fill in the blanks. But anyway, then there are the typical hoarders. These people just can't part with random things that they have acquired over the many years of their life. For example, they might save large coffee cans, or they might save little jars with lids on them. Those both can be used in a workshop for storing such things like wires and nuts and bolts. Maybe you even like to save bread wrappers so that you don't have to go search for a string or some wire or anything like that. You have some bread wrappers handy laying around. Things of that nature. And then last but certainly not least, there are the spiritual hoarders. These people have had some challenging life experience. People may have hurt them in various ways, and they can't find forgiveness in their heart or such things like that. This group of people cannot let go of their past. They are fighting a mental battle, actually really a Satan battle. They carry a lot of excess negative baggage, and they cannot be moved beyond the pain that was in their life. And so, folks, I'm not suggesting that collecting or researching or any of the different types of hoarding that I have spoke about, I'm not suggesting that those are bad things. The sin falls into when it's excessive, when it makes it so that you can't walk through your home because there's too many things laying on the floor just piled up, or if there's just too much food in your refrigerator or pantries or different places where the food begins to rot. You know, things of that nature. I'm not talking about it being a sin to collect these things, but I'm talking about in excess. And so what does the Bible say about spiritual hoarding? In Ecclesiastes 3:6, the Bible says there is a time to keep and a time to throw away. This lesson can apply to all hoarding, in fact. In Isaiah 41:10, the Bible tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In Luke 12:25, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life?" And how about in Colossians 3:2? "Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth." That one's a good one. That one really applies to this hoarding. Colossians 3:2, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." I believe we all experience some hoarding in our lives, and maybe if you're like me, it crosses over into several groups of hoarding. So I'm going to tell myself here for a little bit. But I believe mine is more in the physical sense, but there's always room for improvement in all areas of our lives. Spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, body and soul, whatever that is. So, for instance, I like to collect unique rocks from special places, and I like to collect coffee cups from places that I have vacationed. I wouldn't necessarily say that I hoard these things, though. I have a healthy amount. My rocks are either in a special box or in my rock garden out in front of my house. My cups, I use daily. Books, I love books and knowledge. There again, I wouldn't necessarily say I hoard books in an unhealthy way, but I do have my fair share of books in several bookcases. I can be a bit of a food hoarder as well. I believe I get this from my dad. My dad always did this. I believe because of surviving the Great Depression and many things like that where there was such a lack of. And anytime he found a good bargain on food, he would purchase it and he would put it back for that rainy day. I don't accumulate nowhere near the amount of things that he did. But still, I would like to think of my situation is more on a scale of if for whatever reason I couldn't get to the grocery store, then I like to keep about a 2-month supply of food stocked up just in case. My greatest problem in hoarding is the over-sentimental hoarding. The problem isn't so great that I can't walk around in my house. My house is pretty organized and clean, but all the same, I keep anything sentimental. I have a very hard time deciding what is truly important and what is something that I just want to hang on to. And so I'm a big over-sentimental hoarder type of person, but I don't let it get carried away. I don't let it get out of hand and rule my life. But I have many 30-gallon totes of sentimental things, but they are organized and they are labeled. Things that my mom and dad have given me, things my grandchildren have made for me, even my daughter's homework, artwork, awards, clothing, dating back as far as 24 years old, and she's 28. I have kept all the Christmas ornaments from her preschool days that she made for me, and I have a tradition each Christmas. I still hang those precious ornaments on the tree. She asks me from time to time, "Mom, why do you keep so much stuff of mine when I was little?" Well, it's because she's my daughter, and I love her with all my heart. And everything she has given me or made me is precious, and I hold it very dear to my heart. And I just can't part with that. It's a part of her life. But I've also started this tradition with my grandchildren and pictures. Oh my. Don't even get me started on pictures. I have thousands of pictures. I love pictures. Anyway, that's enough about me. You kind of get where I'm coming from, though, on this, right? So what happens to a hoarder's brain? Why can't they let go of things? Hoarding seems to be characterized by problems in decision-making, as I just said. Sometimes this problem can create a great deal of anxiety and upset for the person trying to decide what to hold on to and what to get rid of. I know I have been there myself. You know, like I said, with some of the things of my daughters or my grandchildren, you know, I have so much artwork. I have so much, so many grade cards and so many things that they've made, but I just can't decide what to part with and what to keep. And so I tuck it away somewhere and I think, well, I'll get back to that one day. But that one day doesn't usually get there. So hoarders try to avoid being put in a position where they have to decide what they do with these things. And so, like I said, like myself, a lot of people will hold on to these things and they'll tuck them away somewhere and they'll think, well, you know, I'll make that decision later. They avoid it because it's too painful, and so the clutter continues to build. In spiritual hoarding, we hold on to certain ideals about marriage, about all relationships, really, and whatever that relationship is, it doesn't matter. It could be, brother and sister, spouses, it could be, you know, anything, any relationship, coworkers, friends. And so we tend to hold on to things, and when we get hurt, we hold on to that because our ideal and the reality of the relationship do not match up. And so we cling to those times when things did not go as we had planned them to. And it can harden our heart after a while. In Jeremiah 29, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil." God's plan was never for us to have a picture-perfect relationship of any kind, aside from the perfect relationship with God. God's plan for us was to have peace in the midst of our circumstances or situations, no matter how painful or how difficult. In relationships, we will never be without a new circumstance or situation that come about only for our personal growth in Him. That sounds a little awkward. Let me kind of go back and explain to that with that. There's no perfect relationship, folks, except for the perfect relationship between God and yourself. And so there will never be a time in your relationship where there won't be new circumstances, new situations. And we have to deal with those. But those circumstances and those situations that we come up against, they are for our own personal growth in God. Even though they may not turn out quite like we planned, we are not even supposed to hold on to spiritual blessings from God. Why? It is said that if you hoard a thing for yourself, it will turn into spiritual dry rot. Just as that extra food you put on the shelf that sits there for years and years and years, and it begins to break down your cans and begin to rot inside the can. Just like the manna did that it tells about in the Bible. The manna that was hoarded, it began to rot because people wanted to hold on to it because there was so little manna. God will never let you hold a spiritual thing for yourself. It has to be given back to Him, that He might be able to bless others with it. Friends, let me say this. When we learn a life lesson, by whatever means that we learn that life lesson, we are supposed to turn around and share that lesson we learn with others. By our testimony, we help others to find salvation and to have a closer relationship with God. If we are learning critical life lessons from Jesus Christ, then it will always, always, always mean letting go of something. For if we do not practice doing this, then we are hoarding, and hoarding is a sin. Hanging on to all the memories or the blessings that He gave us, and no one else is benefiting from that blessing because we are hoarding it. We are holding on to it. In a home, it is said that if we never get rid of things that we do not use or need, and we keep bringing in more and more, there will come a point where our home is only a place to exist. The home will become so full of stuff that we cannot find peace. It is the same in our marriage. If we don't let go of some of the unhealthy thinking that we have, or the ideals about what a marriage should be, then we won't have a marriage of peace, but instead it will be a marriage of chaos. And that is in any relationship you have. If you don't have some flexibility, and if you don't make God number one in that relationship, no matter what it is, it's not going to give you peace. It's going to create more and more chaos. This holds true of all relationships, as I just said. Spiritual and physical hoarding are equally bad. Physical hoarding will keep us from growing spiritually, and spiritual hoarding will keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Let me repeat that. That is worthy of repeating. Physical hoarding will keep us from growing spiritually, and spiritual hoarding will keep us from doing that which God has called us to do. God says, if you love me, then feed my sheep. The main reasons people hoard, some of the main reasons, are it's associated with depression, hyperactivity, obsessive compulsive disorder, or oftentimes they've endured an emotional trauma in their lives, such as abuse of some sort, divorce, or maybe the death of a loved one. In a person's spiritual life, rather than dealing with these issues, they keep their lives In a person's spiritual life, rather than deal with issues that keep their lives spiritual rubbish free, things keep building up deeper and deeper until it seems almost impossible to put themselves back into working order. Are you that person today? Are you a physical hoarder? Are you a spiritual hoarder? How has that worked out for you so far in your life? Are there things that you need to get rid of? Are there things in your home? Is there stuff that you need to make some hard decisions about? Cleaning out the clutter? Same with your mind. Is there things in your mind that you need to clutter out so that God can make way for better things in your life? Sometimes there's so many piles of unforgiveness and bitterness and other spiritual forms of garbage that you can barely make it from one place to another. When people hoard or refuse to let go of things like fear, doubt, jealousy, bitterness, and envy, their spiritual lives become a real mess, folks. And I know that some of you out there are relating to this message today. That God is speaking this message to you today. That He wants you to hear this because there's something going on in your life that clearly needs work. So that you can get closer to Him and so that you can do the things that He has called you to do. Our lives begin to rot from the inside out. I want to ask you right now, are you living in that spiritual squalor? What is squalor? The definition of squalor is a condition of filth and misery. It means destitution, starvation, dirtiness, wretchedness, and please, it's an unpleasant condition, folks. It's just an unpleasant condition. And a lot of times when you think of like filth and starvation and dirtiness and wretchedness and destitution, those are really strong words. And maybe you wouldn't really connect what's going on in your life with those words because they're so harsh and they're so strong. But think outside the box for a moment. Think outside the box. Think of the underlying definition of each of these words, and then think about what I've been saying. You know, the rot from the hoarding, from the physical and the spiritual aspect of that, and the dry rot that comes from that. And so then you can kind of see how these really harsh words that I've used kind of fall into that too. You know, and so some of you out there do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you do, but have wandered off the narrow path, and others of you have just never been able to quite give up something that they've been holding on to, and it's taking a terrible toll in your life. You become in bondage to it. You become a slave to it, and you're dragging it around like this great big huge ball and chain, and it's heavy, and it's heavy laden upon your heart and your mind, physically and mentally and spiritually, folks. And sometimes it's so exhausting. And you've got to let go of these things. You've got to let go for your health, for your well-being, so that you can get on with your life as God has planned for you. Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? There's no judgment being passed here, folks, I promise you. It's just an honest question that you need to ask yourself. No one else can ask that question for you. No one has that answer for you. I would sincerely hate for any of you to look back on your life sometime in the future and recognize that up to now, your life has all been about rubbish, with nothing worth saving, nothing, the real grassroots, the real stuff to save, the Word of God, and what God wants for your life. Once we come to Christ, He sets us free of the physical and the spiritual garbage of our past. We are cleansed and set apart to be used of God. And so I would hate for anyone to have rubbish in their life of any kind that stops the flow of the cleansing and the setting apart and the being used by God. Many times people pile up grief, resentment, bitterness, and other things that block their ability to function normal for God. I ask you, what about you? Are things as they ought to be in your physical and your spiritual life? I want to ask you something else, folks. If you guys are hoarders of stuff, ask yourself, what would happen if you let go of some of that? Sometimes it's painful, it's difficult, it's anxious, it's all of those things to let go of stuff. And I'm not suggesting to get rid of all of your stuff, but maybe just cut back so that it's more healthy for you. Is there any way that perhaps that you could just cut back, that you could ask yourself, okay, what's going to happen if I let this piece go? What's going to happen if I let that piece go? Maybe you could prioritize what you keep, you know? Maybe you could somehow come to a place in your life, in your mind, that you could say, okay, maybe this piece isn't quite as important as that piece. So maybe you could make stacks of your stuff, you know, prioritize. Like, put in this pile, definitely I can't get rid of this. Okay, well, maybe I can get rid of this. Well, okay, this one's okay. I can definitely get rid of that. I'm okay with that. Okay, so then go back to the two piles you have left. After you've eliminated the one, go back to the two piles, okay? This pile, I definitely cannot get rid of anything in this. Let's move on to the second pile. Okay, how important is this? Can I live without it? Or do I have to keep it? You know, and so I'm saying, prioritize the stuff in your life. As far as your spiritual hoarding, things like forgiveness and resentment and bitterness and all those negative emotions that you're holding on to. How many years have you held on to that, and how many years are you prepared to hold on to it into the future? Folks, I can tell you by experience, holding on to those negative emotions, hoarding those negative emotions, it's not taking you anywhere. It's not healthy. I've had some issues in the last few years, actually some issues dating back to when I was a child. I'm not going to go into it very much. I've gone into it before. Perhaps some of you might remember some of those conversations that I've had with you in the past. But I've had to deal with a lot of negative baggage and things from my childhood that were not positive, I've had to overcome them, get rid of them, prioritize them, and I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed a lot in my lifetime for God's help to see me through those issues, those circumstances, those things that have cluttered my mind and have kept me from moving forward and being healthy and having better relationships with other people. I can tell you from experience, folks, you don't have because you do not ask. God tells you in the Bible that if you want something bad enough, that if you would just come to the Lord and say, "Father, I have sinned. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Help me with this issue." God is always there to pick up the pieces and to answer your prayers and to guide you through this hoarding, this spiritual hoarding, this physical hoarding, whatever it might be. If you just spend time in the Word of God, you pray to Him about these things, you just come clean, be honest, because God already knows all this stuff. He already knows what's in your mind and in your heart. You're not hiding anything from Him, because nobody can hide anything from God, because He already knows what's in your mind. He knows what's going to come out of your mouth next. There's no hiding from God. So just come clean with Him. Be honest and say, "Lord, I have a problem in this area. Help me. Show me how to get rid of this stuff. Take it away. I'm going to drop it at your feet. And I'm not going to pick it up again. I'm not going to be in bondage to this. I'm not going to be a slave to all this anymore. God, please help me." Sometimes things get so bad, we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know what to pray for. But you know what? That's okay. Because the Holy Spirit inside of us knows what you're trying to get across and convey to the Lord. And in those times when all you can do is just groan, the Holy Spirit is your mediator, and He's already sent it up to God. God's working on it. God's got this. So, upon that, while you're thinking on that for a moment, I'm going to go ahead and go to a short break. And this first song is "If We Are Honest" by Francesca Battistelli.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, ever do. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Love can heal what hurt deep. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. This love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, if we're honest, everyone's telling you to let go of what you're holding to. It's too late, too far, you're too small, it's too hard. Throwing water on that spark, living deep inside your heart. With oceans of reasons, the things you're not seeing. But oh, maybe they don't know what you know, that you're not alone. So don't. We could really live like this. Can you imagine it? So bold, so brave, with childlike faith. Miracles could happen. Mountains would start moving. So whatever you may face, don't you be afraid of giants in your way. With God, you know that anything's possible.
And thank you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. For those of you who are just tuning in, I'm happy that you have decided to drop in for a listen this morning. Later on, after the show has aired, my podcast will be uploaded to the podcast page at www.shazizradio.com. If you are just tuning in, I hope you will go back later and listen to the entire message. And as always, friends, please share these messages. Let's link arms in getting the Word of God out there to as many people as possible. Today's message is about spiritual and physical hoarding. The first half of the message, we've been talking about the different types of hoarding, why we do it, and why it is so difficult to stop doing it. In this last half of the message, we're going to be talking about some of the ways that maybe we could resolve this issue. Sometimes the Lord keeps tugging at our heart, trying to teach us a lesson through our messes, but we refuse to listen. Yes, hoarding comes from holding on to things, stuff, what we accumulate, but it has to do with choices in our lives too. Sometimes our lives and the choices we make look like a bomb has gone off in our life. Can you imagine God looking down from heaven on our crowded, distorted, chaotic lives, just shaking his head? Much like we look at our own children and the messes that they sometimes make of their own lives, just shaking our head, thinking, wow, how did things get so out of hand? How did things get so off course? And just like our Heavenly Father, we as parents would like to step in, run to the rescue, and help clean up our children's lives. But just as God created all of us, they also have free will. And just because we want to help doesn't mean that our offer for help will be willingly accepted. Sometimes, like me, you have to learn life lessons the hard way, by the hands-on experience. Otherwise, the lesson just doesn't mean as much. Sometimes our life choices are jumbled, messy, and complicated. Our choices cause us to clutter up areas of our life and make it impossible to add anything more or good to them. Sometimes, because of our choices, we block paths that don't let us get out of our current situation. How many of you are doing that today? Even though I can't see, let me show a raise of hand, you know, that how many of you are doing that, blocking paths that won't allow you to get out of your current situation. Sometimes, because of our choices, we can't see the beauty and the blessing around us because we have lost it or buried it under the piles of rubbish in our life. Sometimes, because of our choices, our clutter spills out into other areas of our lives and get in the way there too. We may not all hoard material possessions, but sometimes our choices and our lifestyle are a hoarded mess of bad choices. Hoarders, sometimes like addicts, can at some point see they have a problem, but not have a clue as to how to stop it. Sometimes it's almost impossible to get out from under all the bad choices. At some point in all of our lives, we each have to take responsibility for our own actions, regardless of what has happened in our past or what is happening in the present. We cannot continually blame others for our current situation, for our current state of mind. We must recognize our part in the mess in our life and start to make changes if we want to see a new and improved life for ourselves, a life that is God-centered. In some instances, you may have to consider a complete do-over. Just a complete do-over. Just throw some things away and start all over fresh. Meaning to let go of many of the things that you have once held dear, or if you're holding on to resentment and many other negative spiritual things going on in your mind, you don't necessarily hold those dear, but they're a way blocker, a path blocker, and it won't allow you to move on. And so with God's help, you need to get rid of that stuff. You need to ask Him for His guidance in helping you to rid yourself of these things, or you will never move on from them. And one day, time will come when you'll look back and you'll wish you had. That you'll think back and you'll be like, oh, it's too late. You know, I shouldn't have held on to all that stuff, that mental negative garbage in my mind, because that person's gone and I can't make it right anymore. You don't want to be that person, folks. In Proverbs 19:3, the Bible tells us people ruin their lives by their own foolishness, and then they get angry at the Lord. And this is so true. I've seen it time and time again, and I'm sure that many of you out there have also seen that happen time and time again with somebody that you know. Perhaps it's even you that has struggled with that. Not only do we get mad at God, but at the other people around us. This makes for a recipe of disaster, folks. It will either push people away or cause us to just pile up more and more trouble and drama in our lives. In Luke 1:37, we are reminded to let your storehouse be filled with mighty treasures that are pleasing to God and used for His purpose. Don't hoard your troubles for your choices so that they can take up valuable space in your storehouse. Don't block your path to and from God. Even if you have a lifetime full of bad choices, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Amen. Do let your storehouse be filled with mighty treasures that are pleasing to God and for His purposes. Don't hoard your troubles. Don't take up valuable space in your storehouse. Don't allow that to collect cobwebs all up there in your mind, just blocking your path to and from God. How many times have you thought to yourself or had a friend say to you, "I feel so lost. I can't even think anymore. What am I going to do?" It's very difficult to be in such a despairing frame of mind, folks. I've been there. I've done that. And God has always seen me through. God has never let me down. He has never left me, forsaken me. God keeps His promises. And He promises that if you ask and you have faith and you have a relationship with Him, you seek after Him, you seek to live a life after Him, God promises to take care of you in every way, in whatever circumstance and whatever situation that you're going through. It may seem that there is too much to do and not enough time to do it. Maybe you are left feeling just entirely overwhelmed. Again, I've been there and I've done that. Where do you begin? Getting started is difficult, but it is not impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. God turns the impossible into possible, and He will give you the strength to overcome anything that you are facing today. Jesus points out the source of our power to overcome the impossible when He says, "With God, all things are possible." When life seems overwhelming, this verse in Matthew 19:26 can give us the strength that we need to move forward, to remind us that we are not alone. With God, all things are possible. Friends, we must recognize that the power to overcome obstacles comes from our Heavenly Father and not anyone else. No one on earth, only our Heavenly Father. Friends, put God first. Concentrate on finding order in your life and in your home. Gain control of your stuff, whatever that stuff is, physical, spiritual. Gain control of your stuff. Let God help you. This will allow you to feel a sense of freedom like you've never felt before in your entire life. Realize that a clean environment is a healthy environment. Being surrounded by a chaotic environment can limit our ability to think clearly. By taking control of our living environment, we may find ourselves feeling better, both mentally and physically. Friends, for some of us, spiritual clutter is no laughing matter. Really, anybody who has spiritual clutter, it is not a laughing matter, period. It can have dire effects on our lives and even the lives of those around us. Sometimes it comes from our past, sometimes from our emotional responses, sometimes it affects us because of a pattern of thinking that we don't even realize we have. But in every instance, it takes us away from being our best selves. And it takes us away from the life that we are capable of living. And in other words, our happiest life that God has chose for us. We all have that place in our homes, that place that is the catch-all for everything. For our homes, it could be your kitchen table, the end table beside your favorite recliner, your closet, your workshop. We all have that one place where everything gets lost. We call it our organized clutter, but it is anything but organized. And in fact, it is more like the Bermuda Triangle. What goes in never comes out. I know that some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so, I'm telling you folks, life is a lot like that. We are constantly piling on one thing after another. We have a whirlwind of good intentions, but bad direction, bad choices that amount to little purpose. Our lives stay this way until God's mighty arm intervenes, until we allow God's mighty arm to intervene. Mighty to sweep, mighty to clear the clutter and the chaos of our lives. One day, dear friends, the things of this world will not matter. We will hopefully all be united with God in heaven. The clutter of our lives makes us lose sight of the fact that there is the tent of our earthly home, our bodies here and now, and then there is the eternity of our heavenly dwelling, our bodies in heaven. We groan here in our earthly bodies, like groan as in moan and groan. But one day we will be up there in heaven in our glorious bodies. There is a deeper, more wonderful reality awaiting each of us in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, the Bible says, "So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please God." At the end of the day, that is what matters, whether we have pleased God. God steps in and He rakes away the rubbish. He opens our eyes if we allow Him to. Our aim is to live a life that pleases God. And once you do that, a lot of Christians today, a lot of people in general, God comes in and He rakes away the rubble and He opens our eyes, and what's the first thing we do? Little bit by little bit, we start accumulating more and more spiritual and physical stuff. And before you know it, if we're not careful, we end up right back where we were. And then God has to start all over with our lives. Folks, please take that step today. Allow God to come into your life. Ask Him to do a mighty work in your life and help you clean up all this stuff. Help you to understand it. Help you to clear it out. And once He rakes away all that rubble and He's opened your eyes, don't go back. Don't turn back. Don't start reaccumulating all that stuff. Aim to live a life that pleases God. That should be our daily ambition. Our every decision. Ask ourselves, does Jesus take delight in what we are doing? Will our choices make Him glad? Will it cheer His heart? And just like that, our table is clear. Let's close in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that there is spiritual trash in my life. I confess to having just tolerated it and let it grow deeper and deeper. I confess to letting things build up in my life that has hindered my effectiveness. Please forgive me of my sins, Heavenly Father. Help me to recognize it for what it is and begin the process of removing it from my life once and for all for good. I recognize that You can't use me as You wish if I'm surrounded by piles of squalor and rubbish. I recognize that in order to be used in a mighty way, I have to keep my heart and my soul clean, along with my home. So today I commit to making this my choice, Heavenly Father. to follow your will for my life. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all the people said, Amen. Thank you again for joining me here on the Hope Show today. Go out there this week and be a blessing. Go out there and start decluttering your life. Start making steps toward asking God for help and making the choice to do better, be better, and to let go of all that rubbish in your life that you don't need, that serves no purpose. And so until we meet again, same time, same place, next week, may God bless you and keep each and every one of you and your families. I love you. I love you.
Oh, weary mind, oh, troubled soul, all the broken pieces that you hold, turn them over, give them up, and then watch what Jesus does. Oh, heavy heart, oh, heavy load, lay it down and let it go. Leave your broken yesterday. heart is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away, every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven, in heaven. I'm going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is gone. I'm in your open arms where I Jesus, no turning back. Thank God Almighty, I'll be free at last. In heaven, in heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go, oh, I wanna go home where every fear is. Every chain.